So anyway, this morning, we're going to talk about running the race to win, running the race of faith. And the key verse we're going to look at today is 1 Corinthians 9:24, and it says, "Do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it." So let's pray. Father, we just pray for your blessing on this morning. Lord, we just thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you for the worship that we were able to sing and enjoy. And Father, I just pray that this morning that your words would be spoken and there would be ears that would hear and hearts that would be open to receive it. Lord, we just love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. So running the race of faith. In Corinthians, Paul talks about, he uses that imagery of perseverance, commitment, and the ultimate reward that awaits all of us that run faithfully. And so in Corinth, that's where they did a lot of the races. It was called the Isthmian Games, kind of like the Olympics. And in that area, it was pretty narrow, and that's where all the people came for the games, and I think they held it every 2 years. And so Paul was probably there during the times of the games. And as Jesus uses a lot of parables, like the vine and the branches, and field is ripe for harvest, things like that, I think Paul was using the games as a simple and easy metaphor of what was going on around him. And also, there was a lot of people there that he could preach to and reach the gospel for. So I think there's a lot of reasons why Paul used these analogies, and he talks about it, and I think it fits perfectly with what we're doing today. And so let me ask you these questions. Are you running the race with purpose? Are you running to win? And do you know where the finish line is? Right? I don't know if you guys are old like me and listened to motivational speakers back in the early days. There was a guy named Zig Ziglar, and love that guy. He talks about an archer named Howard Hill, and he was supposedly the best archer in the world, and that nobody wanted to compete with him because they'd just be competing for second place. But I can tell you right now that if I was there with Howard Hill, I could beat him at any archery contest. Yeah, all these laugh. Why wouldn't you believe me? However, Mr. Hill would have to be blindfolded, and I would have to spin him around 3 or 4 times, because you can't hit a target that you can't see, right? So that's the key, is do you know where the finish line is? Now, I don't want you to think that during this message that I'm speaking about, you can earn your faith, okay? Or you can earn your salvation. That is not what I'm talking about. You cannot earn your salvation. Ephesians 2:8-9 says it clearly. Let's just read that real quick. There it is. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one should boast. For as we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." And that's what I'm talking about, is doing the good works that God has prepared for us beforehand. We cannot earn our salvation, right? But we can be faithful in doing the good works that God has called us to. So there's three key points that I wanted to bring up today, and that is, do you recognize that you're in a race? Do you run with discipline and focus? And are you going to finish strong to receive the prize? So the first step is to realize that we're all in the race, whether you want to acknowledge it or not. And when Paul wrote this to the Corinthians, again, he was really familiar with those games. And I imagine that they were going on at the time, and so it was an easy metaphor for him to use to bring it all together. And now, if you know anything about being an athlete, you know that they just don't pop their head off the pillow in the morning and go, "Hey, I'm going to go run a marathon," right? Doesn't work that way. They train for years and years and years to be the top in what they do. It takes training and commitment and discipline to win that race. And what are they racing for, right? They're racing for something that's temporary. Back in those days, they were racing for a wreath of leaves, right? It wasn't even a gold medal, right? You couldn't even cash it in for gold. So they were literally racing for something that was temporary, and they would spend years perfecting their skill. And as believers, we're running the race for eternal life, for eternity with Christ. And I don't believe we can even imagine what heaven's going to be like. It's going to be so wonderful and so glorious. I was sitting by our creek the other day, enjoying life, just thinking how beautiful it was, and the river or the water flowing, making the nice water sounds, and the birds are singing, and butterflies are floating by, and the ants are dropping off the tree onto me. It was awesome. And then I realized, and I had heard this, and so it came back around to me, but that compared to heaven, this is nothing, right? Because then I also looked around, and there's so much death, right? The dead trees, the leaves that are falling, the moss that's growing in the creek. Things aren't going to be like that in heaven. So I don't believe we can even come close to imagining what heaven's going to be like. And yet that's what we're striving towards, eternity with Christ. Got to take a hit of my emotional support cup here. So let's look at some examples. So let's look at Job. He was doing pretty good. He was a successful guy. He loved the Lord. And he didn't choose to run a race of suffering. But yet God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Right? And we all know that story that God allowed Satan to afflict him. And but yet Job didn't quit, right? He persevered. He had discipline and courage when he was going through his trials. And if Job 42:10, it says, "And the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he had prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." So yeah, even though we might not think that we deserve things, even though things happen to us that we're not expecting, we don't think they're fair, God does them for a reason. And I don't understand it, right? Things happen. And life's hard, and we have to trust that God knows better, and that's hard, right? It's not easy. Let's look at Jonah, because Pastor Charles has been teaching on Jonah, right? God says, "Hey, I want you to go to Nineveh, preach the word, and turn those Ninevites around," and he said, "Nope, not going to do it. I'm going the other way," and he literally, Nineveh was here, Tarshish was here. He went in the opposite direction, and he encountered some trials while he was on that boat, right? He was all tucked in, nice and asleep. The boat starts going crazy. People start throwing things over, and then eventually Jonah's pitched over the boat as well. And the whale swallowed Jonah, and in verse 3 it says, "But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." Can we ever flee from the presence of the Lord? Nope. I don't know why he thought he could. And he went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare. So he even paid to get away from God. And he went down to it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. Again, somehow he thought he was going to be able to escape it. That plan backfired on him, right? The fish swallowed him, and in chapter 2, verse 10, "And the Lord spoke to the fish," right? It swallowed Jonah, and then it vomited Jonah out on dry land. So I've done some things that God has called me to, and I've said, "Okay, not right now, later. I have never been swallowed by a fish and vomited on dry land. Praise the Lord, right? But God's going to have his way eventually. Jonah's a perfect example. Now, the best example we can have is of Jesus himself. Paul used the metaphor of a race to describe his spiritual journey. But Jesus perfectly embodies endurance, focus, and the ultimate victory. And why Jesus? Because he was fixed on the goal. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God." Amen. Exactly. And Jesus, think about, here he is, the Son of God, the creator of all. He faced temptation, he faced rejection, and he faced the cross. Yet he remained faithful to God's will in all of that. His obedience and his endurance led us to the ultimate victory of salvation through him on the cross. Nothing else. And you think about the ultimate victory there. Jesus is on the cross and he declares, "It is finished." John 19, 30 says, "When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." So in the Greek, that word, "it is finished," is actually tetelestai, which translates from "it's paid for," it's paid in full, right? And that's what the Greeks used to stamp receipts with, tetelestai, it's paid in full. And that's what Jesus was saying, "It's paid in full. I've paid the debt of sin completely and forever." And he ran with purpose, and he triumphed over sin and death. And more importantly, Jesus defined the race itself, right? So he was able to define it, and he demonstrated how to win it, not by personal achievement, but by complete surrender to God's will, right? He's there in the garden, and he says, "May you take this cup from me," and he says, "But not your will," or "not my will, but your will be done." Complete surrender to God's will. So many people drift through life with no sense of direction. And in Corinthians, it reminds us that we're not spectators. We're runners. We're participants in this race, whether we want to be or not. And some of us feel like we're stumbling. I know over my life, I felt like things were going good, and then I stubbed my toe and tripped and fell and got some scabs on my head. Others might be walking or running, you know, not sure where they're going, and so they're just kind of moseying along. And some have just stopped altogether because of the burdens of life have just weighed them down so much that it's like, I just can't take another step. But God has called us to run. No matter where you are, he wants you to keep going. He wants you to endure, and he wants you to finish strong. And it's not easy. It takes consistent effort, it takes discipline, it takes obedience, and it takes focus. And once you recognize that you're in the race, the next step is to run with discipline and focus. Every athlete, this is 1 Corinthians 9:25, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. No athlete wins by accident. No champions just win by accident. They just don't show up on the day and just say, "Hey, I want to compete." So you guys know who was the first to climb Mount Everest, right? Sir Edmund Hillary. May 29th, 1953. That morning, Sir Edmund Hillary did not just pop his head off the pillow and say, "I'm going to go climb that mountain." He spent decades preparing for that. He started his climbing when he was in the 1930s. And he continued on in the 40s. He started climbing mountains in New Zealand. And then probably 4 years prior to his climb of Mount Everest, he really started doing intensive training. He didn't just say, hey, let's do this. He spent effort and years developing his skill. So, how do we train as believers? I think the first and the most important thing is we spend time in prayer with God. And through that, God is going to strengthen us daily. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So you ever wonder what the will of God is? That's it, right there. Pray without ceasing. Then we need to spend time in the Word of God. Scripture is our training manual. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. So prayer, spending time in Scripture, then we need to listen to what God is calling us to do. Luke 11, 28 says, but he said, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. How many times do we hear the word of God and just not do anything with it, or ignore it, or dismiss it? First time I heard God's voice, it was when I met Carrie, and God said, you are going to marry her. And I'm like, oh, I can't talk to a girl. They're scary. And so, but being obedient to God, right, I worked up the nerve to talk to her, and that's a whole long story that we won't go into this morning. But, and it took 6 weeks for her to convince me to marry her. And then 6 months later, we got married. So, but God's voice was clear. He said, you're going to marry her. And I could have easily ignored that and thinking, no, that's just my own voice or whatever. But that's an example. Another example is recently I was praying about this sermon, what I was going to speak on, because being up front like this is not my forte. If you guys have problems with your tech, come and talk with me. I can help you with that. This is not my particular gifting. But so I was praying. I was like, God, what do you want me to speak on? And I was getting nothing. And so I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll preach on St. Valentine, right? Because Valentine's Day was on Friday, and, you know, that would probably be some good application from there. And so, you know, whatever, I was sleeping at night, and that night I had a dream that I was the coach for a boys' track team. I have never played track. I have never really coached a team. I have no interest in track, okay? My idea of running is when somebody's chasing me. And that's it. But through that, you know, I was dreaming, and I was remember telling the boys, man, you got to run to win, right? Winning might not be everything, but losing's nothing. You know, I remember using those words in my dream. And then I woke up, and I don't remember, you know, how I saw the verse, whatever. I'm like, okay, that's what God wants me to preach on. So I think God speaks to us in many ways. Mostly he speaks through us through his word. But we need to be willing to hear how God speaks through us, and willing to hear. And we need to be willing to be quiet and still to hear what he's saying. Then a very important part is we must be obedient to what God's calling us to do. Not like Jonah, where Jonah says, nope, I'm going the other way, right? Not my example of saying, nope, I'm going to wait 20 years to do things. We need to be obedient. And James 1:12 talks, or 1:22 says, but be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourself. And then John 10:27, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We were vacationing, Carrie and I and our family were vacationing one time in Pismo Beach, and I've told this story before, so some of you probably heard it, and I think the pastor's name was Ron also, tall and good-looking like me. Not, obviously not as good-looking as Jake, but he stood up, and at the end of the message, he says, "I've got some hard news I want to share with all you. I've got cancer, and they haven't given me long to live." And God spoke to me then and said, "I want you to go tell him that I'm going to heal him, and he's going to be okay." And I'm like, no way. I don't know him. This is the first time we've been to the church. I am terrified. He's going to think I'm a wackadoodle. You know, I came up with all these excuses not to do it. And we walked out of there, and I did not share it with, I don't even know that I told Carrie about that. But I knew that God had wanted me to share with him. And I didn't do it. We went back about a year later, and we went to the same church. Pastor Ron's there again, and he goes, "I want to share some great news with you guys. I just got back from the doctors. I am cancer-free." And I'm like, oh my goodness, right? God told me to share that with them. So not only did I not share it, I missed the blessing of being able to share that with them. I'm sure God brought somebody else in his life to share that word with him, but maybe not, right? So I missed a blessing, and he missed a blessing. And then a year later, same place, and he says that I've been healed. What an awesome way to learn a lesson about obedience, but also hard, right? Because I clearly was told to do something and willfully didn't do it. So don't be like me. Do what God calls you to do. And then perseverance in trials. Yeah. Amen. Because challenges train us, and they make us stronger in our faith. But trials aren't easy, right? And 2 Corinthians 4, 8, 9 says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but not destroyed." So you think about an Olympic runner and the training that they go through. They avoid distractions. They push through pain. They set aside things that are not important. And let me ask you, what keeps you from running well? Are you spending more time on things that are draining you, draining your spirit, rather than building your faith? Are you weighed down by sin or doubt or fear? Matthew 28, and Marshall, I didn't put this one in there, so don't look for it, it's not there. Matthew 11, 28 and 30 says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Right? Amen. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." So I'm sure we've all heard this analogy where as we go through life, we fill our backpacks with the rocks of trials and tribulations, of sin or despair, discouragement, and Jesus calls them to lay those down at his feet and take his yoke upon him. And yet, what do we do when the things hit us again? I know what I do. I go back and start picking each one of those things up. Got to carry it, right? Here's another one. Got to carry it. And what good does that do? That just burdens us, right? We need to lay those burdens down. We need to take Christ's yoke upon us because his burden is light. or his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So don't pick it up. Don't pick up the past. Let it go. And man, I am the worst offender. Okay? I'm not. Carrie goes, where can I sit closest to be most effective in my heckling? Thank you. Right there. So yes, my immediate tendency is when things get rough is to recount everything in my life that's gone bad and justify why I feel so miserable and why I feel that God has abandoned me. It's a total lie from Satan, right? So I need to lay those burdens down and let them go. Yeah, so easy to say, so hard to do, but that's part of the race, part of being disciplined, part of being obedient to what God calls us to, and finishing strong. So the goal isn't just to run. It's to endure, and it's to finish strong. 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. So it's not about how we start. It's about how we finished. We all have pasts. All of our pasts are different. All of our pasts are different. And we need to learn from those and move forward and work towards the finish line, the goal, the eternity with Christ in heaven. And I'm sure you've all met those people that they become Christians, and man, they are on fire, and they are running for the Lord. And then all of a sudden, boom, they hit a wall. And it's tough, right? And the enemy wants us to quit. He wants to defeat us. But God wants us to endure, and God gives us everything we need to endure. We just need to be obedient to what he wants us to do. And then imagine an Olympic runner who's running the race, right? He's run along, he's doing good, and then all of a sudden he trips and falls. And the audience is like, and he gets back up again and runs and ends up winning. And the crowd goes crazy. That's somebody who has the faith of what it takes to win. Or even better, what about a runner that trips and falls and his friend or a co-runner or a competitor stops and picks him up? What an awesome view of how God is, right? So again, earthly athletes compete for medals, but our reward is eternal and far greater. We're running for an eternal ground, a joy that is being a joy of being with Christ forever. And when we stand before him, we want to hear Matthew 28:23. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. So Jonah, he endured and was carried through suffering, and in the end was greatly rewarded. I'm sorry, Job. Jonah ran from God, but God pursued him in a unique way. He repented, and he was rescued, and a whole nation was saved as a result of that. Jesus, of course, is the only way. He's the creator, and he's the perfecter of all. So if you're feeling weak, too weak to continue, look for help. God's always there to help you. Fellow Christians, don't be so proud that you refuse the help, right? One of my things I struggle with is being prideful. Anything you'd like to, amen. Right? And it's like, I've got myself into this mess, I'll get myself out of it, or no, I don't want to ask for help because I'm a man and I can fix it myself, or, a myriad of other things where I dismiss the help of others. But let me tell you, the help of others is a true blessing. And it's a blessing for not only those that receive it, but those that give it. And be willing to accept the the generosity of others, no matter how hard it is. So if you're running away like Jonah, realize there's no place to hide from God. It's easier. I would rather be obedient than be swallowed by a fish. Just saying. And if you're stumbling because of dishonesty or sin or distractions, let it go. Surrender to God and don't pick up your past burdens. As easy as that is to say, I know it's hard to do, but it's what God calls us to. You're probably familiar with the Christian allegory, footprints in the sand. I remember the first time I heard it, and man, it just wrecked me. So I'm going to read it, see if I can wreck anybody else. Probably I'll start crying, but that's okay. So here it is, footprints in the sand. One night, I dreamed I was walking along a beach with the Lord. Many scenes from my life flashed across the sky. In each scene, I noticed footprints in the sand. Sometimes there was two sets of footprints, and other times there was one set of footprints. This bothered me because I noticed that during the low points of my life, when I was suffering from anguish, sorrow, or defeat, I could only see one set of footprints. So I said to the Lord, you promised me, Lord, that if I followed you, you would walk with me always. But I have noticed that during the most trying periods of my life, there has only been one set of footprints in the sand. Why, when I needed you the most, have you not been there for me? And the Lord replied, my son, my precious child, I love you and I would never leave you alone. The times when you have only seen one set of footprints in the sand is when I carried you. So God, he is there to carry us. He's not going to leave us alone. He's not going to abandon us. Even when you feel alone, and when you're tired, you're ready to give up, God is carrying us forward. So how are you running? Are you stuck at the starting line? Are you distracted by life's troubles? We got a lot of them. Are you growing weary and wondering if you have the strength to finish? And here's the good news. God gives us strength. Jesus is our leader and our perfect example, and he guides us every step of the way. The Holy Spirit is our fuel, empowering us to persevere. And this isn't a competition. It's not me against you. It's us. It's us. We're all running the race together. If you see somebody stumbling, pick them up. Help them along. Jesus is building a big, big house with lots and lots of food where we can play football. I'm done singing. So in Isaiah 40:31, it says, but they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So this week, I want to encourage you, to challenge you to race with a new passion. Spend time in prayer. Read God's word daily. Let go of sins and distractions and encourage somebody else in their race. And when you do, like Philippians 4:4-7 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. And to me, this image, this last image, is the perfect image of the joy and the peace that can be found in the Lord. And when I wake up in the morning, I want to be, yes, rather than, oh no. What a joy it is to see that. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for calling us in this race of faith. Give us the strength to persevere and the discipline to stay focused and the courage to finish strong. May we run in such a way that honors you and brings us to the ultimate prize, eternal life with you in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.